Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Degger, and it's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. in Montgomery County, talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. That's right, Washington, D.C., Virginia, New York, California, worldwide, I tell you. Again, this is Outside Looking In. I am Bruce Degger, and I'm here every Tuesday night talking to you about what you want to talk about. It's a call-in show, so this is two-way talk radio. My phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. We've got a whole host of topics we want to get to. It's been a good week for me because a lot of things that I said last week have come out in the newspaper, and I've been ahead of the curve. I don't want to say I'm the pulse of Montgomery County because I sure as heck am not yet. That's the truth. But I am definitely ahead of the curve, and at least according to the Washington Post, I am, because they're treating Montgomery County like a stepchild. It's like, if it's not, they definitely focus more of their attention on Virginia. At least that's the way it looks to me. But such as such. I mean, we're going to talk about a foreign leader's running our country. We're going to say it ain't so, Shelley. Sheldon Silver in New York, the speaker. Busted! Busted! For the people in New York who listen to this program, you got to understand. That's a joyous day. That's when you start dancing on somebody's grave. You hate to say something like that. You hate to even have that image. But it's like when, who's the guy? Scrooge, who's the guy? When they were dancing on Scrooge's grave. Because this guy has kept New York politics down for 22 years, at least. At least. I also want to discuss the potential, and put that in quotes, air quotes, right? So I'm doing it right now. Air quotes, the potential of the Life Sciences Center in Rockville, Gaithersburg, right off of Shady Grove Road, right over there, and 28. Also want to talk about the country road, take me home. Montgomery County, lacking a little bit of foresight, in my opinion. Half this county is built in 1987, at least up county or around, and they don't have the foresight to widen the roads or make sure that the roads were going to be wide enough. I mean, there are definitely some highways going through, but we'll talk about that as well. Also want to talk about Sky Mall and McDonald's. Read in the business pages, both of them, Sky Mall is going Chapter 11, and McDonald's is sucking wind. Not a surprise there. And really, when I read you these stories, we're going to take a look about how things can be interpreted. Because the Washington Post puts out these articles, and they try to slant you to a certain way, especially about Sky Mall. We'll get to that because it's very interesting. But any intelligent reader can just have a different opinion about what's going on. And you hope that you have a different opinion. You know, two sides to every story. It's interesting because I talk to my son right now. He's second grade in the MCPS. And I talk to him, and he's coming home with all these things. What's the meaning of this story, Ryan? Read the paragraph. What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of that? What's the main point? You know, and sometimes, one or two times, he surprised me and found something totally different than what I was looking at. I had the obvious because I'm like giving one eye on the homework because trying to do my job, et cetera. But when he turned to me and he said that, I was like, genius! Stroke of genius, my son. Straight to college, right away. Right straight to college with you. Get out of the house, get a job. But there are two things, that's the way you can look at it. So that's the other thing. But one thing I want to start off with, on this program, I might bring up some things that I don't have knowledge about yet, but I will find out knowledge. I am not going to be one of these things to say, to be a blowhard and talk about something without actually doing it. So last week I talked about my favorite whipping boy, so it seems, is Seth Rogen. But I guess when you have a weak lag and the guy just likes to pop up in the news, you go back to him. But I want to talk about Seth Rogen. This guy, you know, Mr. Interview, talking about killing the leaders of North Korea, like there should be no repercussion, like there would be no repercussion from the craziest man on earth. That's what happens when you smoke too much dope. You forget what reality is. You forget that you're actually antagonizing someone who actually is actual power. I mean, geez, the North Koreans kidnapped the Japanese in subs. They float over to the islands, put them in subs, and bring them back to North Korea for 25 years. Put them together in hard labor. Not someone you want to mess with, especially if you're not prepared to mess with them. You know, maybe it was the Expendables, Dolph Lundgren or Stallone or something, then you could deal with it. But Seth Rogen, see ya. But anyway, he came out against American Sniper. I saw American Sniper this past weekend with my wife. We were like, what should we do? We were going to see the British film about the interpreter. Not the interpreter. I don't know what it was. But we were going to see some British film. I wasn't in the mood for that. So I said, let's go see American Sniper. Everybody's talking about it. I wanted to see it anyway. You know, they're talking about what a surprise American Sniper is in terms of how box office. You know, Bradley Cooper is in it. People want to see Bradley Cooper. I came home from a hockey game the other night. I'm sitting on the couch. You got to unwind after you play hockey at like 12 o'clock. So you sit on the couch and you turn on the television. You pop a beer or whatever. You're not ready to go to sleep because you could go to bed, but your mind is going and your legs are still working and you're just going to think about the game and be up for 3 hours. So you just got to come down a little bit, right? So I'm sitting there flipping through all the cable stations, and Bradley Cooper's in this movie and that movie and this movie and that movie. Like Silver Linings Playbook was on, The Wedding Crashers, The Hangover. I forgot what the other one was. It's the one with De Niro where he takes the pill and becomes like super intelligent. But that was on as well. Bradley Cooper was on 4 stations at one time. And people were surprised that American Sniper is getting all this box office. First of all, they say it's a smart movie. It's a provocative movie. And then you have Bradley Cooper. I don't have a man crush or anything of that sort, but I like how he acts. Based on Silver Linings Playbook alone, I will go see any movie that he puts out until he disappoints, which he's bound to because all of them do. But anyway, American Sniper, my take on it, you know, what Seth Rogen had said, he said it seemed like a Nazi propaganda film. And he equated it to that. What a schmuck. And then I realized he said this without even seeing the movie. What a bigger schmuck. I'll tell you, American Sniper, I had a guy next to me at the hockey game. He asked me, he said, what'd you think of it? Was it good? And I said, I don't know. I don't know if it's good. It made me think. It made me think a lot. You know, it didn't glorify war. I'll tell you that. It didn't make you want to sign up. It didn't make me want to sign up. And actually, my son, I told you a couple of weeks ago, wants to possibly be an astronaut. So go to the Navy, etc. It made me rethink it immediately. You know, he's got 15 years before he worries about that. But it made me rethink it immediately as a parent. The detachment and how he said a couple things in that movie, too, that were very poignant to me about, you know, there's a war going on and nobody at home cares. And it's true. I mean, you think about the differences in war now, what it was back in 64, 55, 1941, 42. The country was involved. People were involved. I think the Vietnam era is where it started to break off a bit, where people were involved but saying we got to get out of there. We understand what war is about. We got to get out of there. It wasn't a clear-cut good versus evil. You know, I think the mission of the United States has gotten a little muddled myself about good versus evil because there is evil. In my opinion, there is evil. I've seen evil. My wife has seen evil. We lived evil. You know, once you live it, you understand it. Pure chaos against civilians, innocent civilians. Didn't know it's coming. Didn't know at all. I don't know. You know, sometimes you draw the parallels. Maybe if I was in a war zone, I would be looking over my shoulder a little bit more. I was just going to work that day. Just going to work. So were 3,000 other people just going to work. But this Putz, you know, a Nazi propaganda film. It was anything but a propaganda film. And then he comes out and finally sees the movie and says, oh, I liked it. I thought it was well acted. I thought it was good. You know what? Take your Hollywood career, pack it up, go back to Canada. Seriously. I mean, it's not that I'm one of these guys, well, if you don't like it here, get out. A lot of people don't like it here, but why would you leave? But seriously, you got something to say, Seth? Just don't say it. You know, some people get caught on Twitter. You know, well, I guess he does a lot too. But Twitter, 140 characters to ruin your life. think. That's what happens. Common sense is lost in the United States. Common sense is lost in this world. People don't understand repercussions. Apologies have become too easy. Too easy. A couple years ago, you know, the worst thing that happened to the apology circuit is that Oprah doesn't have a show anymore. You could do whatever you wanted with no repercussions, as long as you came out on the couch and said, "Oprah, I'm really sorry for what I did. I'm really, really sorry. Oh, America will forgive you." Get out of here. I'm not forgiven that easily. You know, I believe in forgiveness, but you can't do something wrong because the forgiveness became too much. It became too easy. And that's the crazy part. Forgiveness has to be hard. Apologizing has to be hard. Going in front of someone and mea culpa has to be a little bit difficult. It can't be part of a PR ploy. If I've offended anybody, yeah, you've offended somebody. Understand that you've offended somebody. Don't be, you know, are you not a thinking person? You didn't think this would offend? And I'm talking about people in general right here. Common sense is lost. It's absolutely lost. And let me tell you where common sense has been lost as well. Snowstorm. Snowmageddon, right? New York City going to shut down. The Northeast is closed. You know, you got to prepare. I think the governors did the right thing preparing because there's always that one schmuck. Hey, I got four-wheel drive. I'm going to go on I-90. Always gets stuck. And then he's like, "Well, nobody came to rescue me." Well, you know, that's the other thing. People who put themselves in danger should be charged for rescues at times. You know, there are times where rescues are necessary because something unforeseen happened. But if you drive out onto the interstate and you know 2 feet of snow are going to come and you're not going to make it to your destination, you deserve to be in that truck. You don't deserve to die, but you deserve to be in that truck miserable and cold, drinking your own pee and eating some Cheerios that are you've pulled out from the seat. Serious about that. But common sense has been lost, and why I say this is because all of these meteorologists right now, and this is where you can judge where common sense has been lost totally. It's because meteorologists are so got their nose so deep into these computer models that they don't actually look out the window anymore to say something, to see something. How many times have you been sitting in your kitchen looking out of the window on a bright, sunny day, and then you hear the weather report on the radio saying, "Well, it's raining." It's not raining. Look out of your window. We expect this. Well, the computer model says that. I remember when Sandy hit New York, there was a guy, Lonnie something. He was on WCBS. I can't remember him, but he had that, you know, the stubble going because he'd been working all night. He had his sleeves rolled up. He looked really tired. He comes on. He goes, "The computer models are telling us that Sandy is going to hit New Jersey at 8 o'clock. I'm looking at the map right now. It's hitting New Jersey in 10 minutes. 2.5 hours before it was supposed to hit, before the storm was supposed to touch on New Jersey, this guy is like, take cover. Because he was one of the smart ones. He did not wait for a computer model to tell him when common sense tells you something. How did people survive back in 1800s? They looked up sometimes. Sometimes they didn't survive because they didn't know it was coming. But right now, I swear to goodness, weather reporting was better 10 years ago than it is now, because they had to use common sense. They had to use the Doppler radar. I am no scientist, and I don't even play one on television. But I did look at Doppler radar and see how this storm was circling. It kept going in and out, and it looked like so I take the Montgomery County part, and I'm like, okay, we're going to escape. I look up to New York City. I'm like, I don't see how they're going to get that much, because the snow band kept drifting out towards and to the right. Again, I'm not a meteorologist. I just looked at the charts. I looked at the charts. What is going on now? What is going on right now? Common sense. Doesn't cost much. But boy, is it a rare commodity. It's a very rare commodity. The program you're listening to is Outside Looking In with Bruce Negger. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. A lot of people I see in the street say they've never called a radio show before. I'm a little nervous. I don't know what to talk about. Got to think of something. Give me a call. I know something's on your chest that you want to get off. I know that there might be something that you want to talk about and say, hey, that was good. You're going to be surprised. I'm going to say something good right now. Something good. Montgomery County handled this snow like I've never seen them handle a snow before. Seriously, I don't know if it fell at the right time or something like that, that they were prepared for it, but my street was bone dry when I woke up this morning. My wife told me she heard the plow at 1 in the morning. I heard it at 4 in the morning, unfortunately. But they came up and down our street a couple times. Quince Orchard was dry. It seemed like, you know, it was one of those days where nothing should have been canceled. Montgomery County Public Schools, what are you thinking? Now there was a big thing in Montgomery County media. I cover all the bases here. I got all of this stuff at my fingertips. The internet is so wonderful. But Montgomery County media is saying, they brought up a story today. You rats. Like, 2 days have been used. Only 2 more days before summer vacation's cut short for MCPS. Is what I say to that. You know, as long as I'm prepared for it to be closed, schools closed, I can deal with it a lot better. I hate when they close it when you don't think it should be closed, like at 5 or 6 in the morning. You know, I think they were going into this thinking it was something was going to happen. In my mind, I thought that we'd have school closed, so I was ready for it. The kids, they went to daddy school today, broke out those Common Core books that I bought at Barnes & Noble, and they had to do an hour of schoolwork. You know, I don't know what it was. My dad used to do this to me. Sit me down, says, just do some work. I actually looked through it, but they did some reading, some math, some addition, some subtraction, doing what they got to do, because nobody feels worse than me for letting a kid on a snow day sit and play Nintendo for 8 hours. Just can't do it. I cannot do it. And then when they get off of Nintendo, they go play Roblox. Seriously, these distractions that the kids have today are out of control because the desire to go outside is not there anymore. Because they'll have to entertain themselves. I bet you they would go outside in the snow and play in it if I gave them the iPad. But boys, get up, go out. I'm sick of this. So at least I tried to make it productive. Try to make some of these days productive. Because Montgomery County will close school. Boom, boom, boom. They'll close school at the drop of a hat. Oh, the wind is too high. We're going to close school. I know you got to be safe and you got to do all this stuff. But you know what happens? It's these stupid bell times that they have. And this is what I'm talking about being ahead of the curve. The bell times. There were meetings this past week. There were 2 meetings. And they went on for a while. But they were talking about bell times because the Montgomery County Board of Education is about to vote on this. And about moving school times back. But just like anything else, anytime you get bureaucracy going along, things get convoluted. I don't particularly understand. I'm just a caveman. I don't understand your system of jurisprudence. No, I'm just, that's for my brother. But, I mean, I figure Montgomery County has all of its buses. They control the busing. They control this, that, and the other thing. So there's got to be a sequence, an order. So if you change one bell time, you got to change them all. And that's the problem. Because everyone's like, they were talking about bell times again. And this is what we talked about last week. I told you how upset I would get up, waking up at 6:30 for a job, let alone for school, before the sun comes up. You know, coming out of this article by Donna St. George, parents of sleepy-eyed teens plead for later bill. She said something that was interesting here. It's like, many who testified said school leaders need to do more than push the school times back 20 minutes, as per Josh Starr's proposed. He doesn't want any cost to anything, so he just wants to push it back 20 minutes. Is that going to really make a difference? You know, 8:15 is what everybody's pushing for. But then they said, but not everyone was specific about which option they prefer. Because the options are so convoluted, no one knows. I think high school bell time should be pushed back to 8:15. I think they should go to 8:15. I believe in that. Maybe 8 o'clock. I don't care. They should be later. The sun should be up when kids get up. Scientific fact, all of this kind of stuff, but that's what should be the truth. That's the truth. So here, now they want to push all the bell times back, but now they want to push everybody. They want to change everybody. Everybody starts later. Now they want to put elementary school starting at 9:15. That's crazy. Getting home at 4. I mean, do you really have to disrupt everything to get something done? I guess you do. Or are people not looking that hard? But the thing about moving all this stuff back, it's going to cost money. But on the flip side of this, if it doesn't cost money, if you don't do it now, everything costs money. You got to budget for it at some particular time. You got to say, okay, this is a loss. We understand it. It's going to hurt us for a year. We'll try to get it back. Let's have a big bake sale. Let me tell you about bake sales. No, so it just needs to be done. Because listen to this quote from a parent. I thought this was very interesting. I actually stopped my wife to tell her this one. Stephanie Weishar, a mother of two, recounted her daughter's 5:30 a.m. wake-ups and the big difference after she graduated from Richard Montgomery High School last year and went to college. There were dark circles under her eyes, and now they're gone. The teen is healthier, she said. Weishar said her daughter's explanation was that she gets so much more sleep at MIT. This is the best line. Please, take a moment. Let that sink in, is what she said. A freshman at MIT is better rested than in her days at MCPS. Do you remember being in college and thinking 8 o'clock class was the worst thing you could ever have? You're like, oh, man, 8 o'clock. Oh, man. And now you're an adult. It's like 8 o'clock. I got to sleep in 8 o'clock. All right. Perspectives. Perspectives, you know? You don't go out drinking the night before now when you got an 8 o'clock something appointment like you did in college. Or stay up and watch Letterman till all hours of the evening. But I do think that you got to push the times over. Got to get the high schoolers in a little bit later. It's just crazy. 5:30 a.m. wake up call. I mean, now think you're a parent. You got to get up too. You know, there's no way a teenager is going to be quiet and sneak out the door. There's no way. Do I want to get up at 5:30? No. The only time I get up at 5:30 is if I can't go back to sleep. My wife is doing T25 downstairs with Sean T, getting big, getting strong. Then I feel guilty, so I get up to do something myself. But I don't want to get up at 5:30. That's nuts cuckoo. That's what I tell you. Nuts cuckoo. So what else is going on? Just talking to a couple other guys out on the street because I'm a man of the people. Sometimes I'm on the inside looking out. But I mentioned something about perception, and I think I've offended some people from Washington, D.C. last week, saying that the perception of people outside of D.C. is that it's a non-functional situation down there, that everything in D.C. doesn't function. Now what happens with this metro? And I mean, good for the people from D.C. for taking pride of where they're from and where they're living. You know, these are some 30, 35, 38-year-old guys pushing back. You know, and they see this is their home. They are protecting their home. And I will hands down say I agree with you. Good for you. But again, you read and you're from the outside. You're from the country where we are up in Montgomery County. Country, Montgomery County. Can you believe Poolsville's in Montgomery County? That's the country. Seriously, people from West Virginia go to Poolsville to buy cigarettes. Ba-dum-tsh. Oh, Matt, that was for you. But anyway, the district pushes back on radio failure claims. Here's another thing that's scary about it. You know, you're telling me that, you know, these guys are fiercely proud, but they're telling me that, you know, there's no dysfunction in D.C. Well, this just came out, too. This was also from the Washington Post. You know, the District of Homeland Security Agency report contradicts account of the train rescue that Metro had put out. Metro said firefighters caused the outage. Firefighters are saying that Metro wasn't up to speed on what they were doing, even though after repeated notifications. So the district government fired back at Metro on Friday in an escalating dispute over blame for non-working emergency radios as passengers sat waiting for help this month in a smoke-filled train trapped in downtown Washington. So it goes on. They're back and forth talking about the radios and stuff. But here's the thing that's very scary. But the dispute over the radios has exposed what firefighters say has been a tense relationship for years between Metro and the city's first responders, and it has raised questions about the ability of the two agencies to work together effectively in emergencies. You know what? Let that sink in for a second. And it has raised questions about the ability of the two agencies to work together effectively in emergencies. The fire department and your transportation department, Metro. Two sentences that scare the bejesus out of me. You are in Washington, D.C., the capital. You don't think you're on a list? Let alone a list. Something of smoke inhalation? something as small as this, we can't save one person? Who, you know, again, I am not versed in the study of what happened down there. I wasn't down there, so I don't have a bird's eye view of it, but I'm getting all my reports, just like everybody else, from the newspaper. But I have never read words that have scared me more than that. The inability to work together in an emergency situation. There's doubt. There's a shadow of a doubt. That is unacceptable. It is unbelievable. It's unconscionable. I'm serious about this. I mean, you think about that. That is terrible. And it came out in the press and in two small lines. There should be an expose on this. The Washington Post loves to have exposés, right? Let's talk about Snowden for 14 weeks. Let's talk about this for 20 weeks. Let's talk about Vince Gray's campaign funding. Let's have exposés on human trafficking and all this. How about the one that matters the most to all of us, that hits home right away? Right away. It is all linked together. It is all linked together because guess what? Metro ends up at Shady Grove. It ends up in Glenmont. It ends up in Montgomery County. I say. No, but it ends up in Montgomery County, and they're talking about the CCT, Corridor Cities Transitway, et cetera, that's going to bring people from Clarksburg down to Shady Grove to take the metro, to open up the different areas here, to spur economic development, to become an engine. Well, guess what, man? That metro runs right into D.C., so we're bringing more people into an area of people who don't even know if they can work together. It's happened before. It's happened again. What's the biggest threat of this country? It's terrorism. No doubt. I don't mean to be a doomsayer or bring gloom. I'm not Pigpen with the cloud over my head. But they're basic tenets of safety that have to be worked out. This is where the expose should be. This is where people should be focusing on. Two agencies. Two of your most important agencies. Because I'm sure if you peel back a layer of the onion, you're going to find the police can't talk to either one of them. I'm sure you're going to find that. Everybody in the world comes down on New York City about civil liberties and, you know, it's a police state and all of this. But the fireman can talk to the policeman who can talk to the anti-terrorism unit, who can talk to the Coast Guard, who talk to the FBI, who talk to the CIA because they're foreign agents. They're New York City police officers in the Middle East gathering intelligence and information so people are prepared. We're talking about radios now. I'm not even talking about sending people over to the Middle East, sitting in on interrogation and stuff like that. These are two separate things, but they're all intertwined. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting city agencies, basic city agencies, to come and work together. You best, you better, and you have to make sure they work together. Muriel Bowser, right? This is some woman. And I don't even know what her style is now, but the Washington Post has already quoted her or wrote these words about her three times in the articles that I've read. The report once again showed Bowser's measured approach. Bowser's measured approach. You cannot have a measured approach when it comes to emergency preparedness. You cannot be measured because guess what's going to happen? You will be measured and you will end up failing. I understand not getting into the blame game, saying, well, they did this, doing that, they did that. That doesn't have any answers. That doesn't solve anything. You want a measured approach? Your measured approach better be take action, Ms. Bowser. Take action, Madam Mayor. Behind the scenes, if that's your measured approach, I'm for it. You don't have to come out and say, this is what I'm doing. You know, thump your chest the whole time. But you better be behind the scenes working this out and say, this is unacceptable in my administration. I am for the people and by the people, and I will protect the people. This better not happen again. You two get in a room, figure it out, and when you have it done, grab me, and we'll walk those tunnels together to make sure that the communications work. We'll make sure that the police can talk to you and the fire can talk to the ambulance and the ambulance can talk to Metro. We will make it work. Because if it's not, these guys who live in D.C., I feel for them because then this dysfunction will go on forever. It will go on and on on. Measured response. Again, I understand it. To get things done, you don't have to be a blowhard. But you do have to be firm. You can't be as measured. You have to be sort of demanding. Giuliani was demanding. Mayor Bloomberg turned into a demanding person. He understood that the willy-nilly is not getting it done. They also understand, protect your investment. The people are your investment. Metro is your investment. They want to raise prices? How about getting your act together? I think it's simple. I think it's very, very simple. Get your act together.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's right, a failure to communicate, and that is the problem. Measured response. You know, in the Washington Post, you keep writing it. If I were Muriel Bowser's press secretary, I'd be like, enough of that, guys, all right? Measured. She's taking action. This is what I would say. She's taking action. Hopefully she is. But if I were the PR person, and somebody call me up, because I, seriously, all these PR people try to spin and run different things. They don't talk to the common person. This is what should be said from her administration right now. We're getting to the bottom of this. Our measured response is that we're asking, not asking, we're demanding action. That's measured enough for me. Just make sure you follow through on it. The program is Outside Looking In. We're on every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to catch me on Twitter, it's hashtag Bruce Negron Radio. I guess we'll start a Facebook page in case you want to get on there so we can get the message out. People got to hear. I'm starting to get involved. I'm starting to feel it. My passion attracts me to local issues, to local politics. The national scale, of course, everybody's got an opinion, but all politics is local. And that's funny because the people who don't care about local politics are the first ones to complain about garbage not getting picked up. I only vote in presidential elections. Well, when was the last time the president picked up your garbage or set your local tax, the Montgomery County tax? President Obama has not done that. President Clinton has not done that. George Bush has not done that. You got to go out in these off-year elections for governor, for city council, for county council. You got to go out there and make your voice heard now. Because these are the people affecting your everyday life. And you don't realize it when you only vote in the big ones. Let me tell you about voting in the big ones. The way it's set up, voting for president sometimes, if you are not in the majority of that state, if your state's Democratic and you're a Republican, or if you're Democratic in a Republican state, you know, everybody has to vote. That's a joke. That's a joke. I'll tell you this. I will tell you my voting record when I lived in New York State. It is the bluest of the blue. I mean, it doesn't even have shades. It's just deep blue. There's even no shades. A little bit somewhere it gets a little bit purple, but it's deep blue. So anyway, the presidential election comes along. I got a couple people close to me who are so staunch in Democratic side that, you know, it's tough to argue with them. It's just tough to argue with them. They made me wave a flag for George Bush sometimes, and it's not something I wanted to do. So, guess what? I never voted for George Bush. I'm a Republican. I was for him more so than the other guys. But I think I voted for Al Gore because I wanted to. Ask me why. I'll never tell you why again. And I forgot who did Bush run against in the second election? Kerry. Oh. So I think Kerry might have gotten my vote because I didn't want I could win an argument. I knew it wouldn't make a difference. It wasn't going to make a difference. Kerry's got my vote in the bluest of blue states. I want to vote for Bush. Why should I be the one? Now that I voted for Kerry, I could go to these Democrats and tell them, hey, I voted for your guy. Came up a little bit small, didn't he? Came up a little bit small. So I have a clear conscience. I can get in those arguments. Oh, you're just a Republican bastard. Well, hey, I voted for Kerry. Take that. Take that. anything to win an argument. That's the Bruce Negron way. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So we talked about George Bush. We talked about Obama. Let's talk about the 1% for a second. But before I do that, let me give you my phone number if you want to chime in on anything. The phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. Outside looking in. Pick up that phone. Give me a call. You know you got something to say. But anyway, something happened this week, and I was reading in the business pages. Let me get those business pages out. The funny papers. Anyway, Chapter 11 clips Sky Mall magazine's kitschy wings. Internet kills the print star. I know you've been on an airplane. I know you have. I know you've seen Sky Mall. You've picked it up. I love Sky Mall. Haven't bought a darn thing from it, but I love it. What a great way to kill time. Right? But this is what I'm talking about, two sides of an article. This was in the Washington Post on Saturday, and it's talking about Chapter 11 for Sky Mall, as I'd mentioned. Farewell, frivolous in-flight shopping. Sky Mall, the wacky airline catalog that has long filled the seats. I got to put on my glasses. I just turned 47 years old, and overnight, my eyes have gone. I got my Duane Reade glasses. My Duane Reade, that's a New York statement. I have my CVS glasses on right now, these high-powered reading glasses, and now I'm back. But, boy, there's nothing more frustrating. I never understood it when someone said, I can't read the bottle. You got to help me out here. Now I get it. So let me start that over, and let me get my radio voice. Skyball, the wacky airline catalog that has long filled the seat pockets of so many commercial airplanes, could finally be folding its pages. Exhibit Corp, SkyMall's parent company, announced Friday that it had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy,
but
citing
we've
the corporate magazine's inability
failure
to keep up with evolving airline rules. Now listen to this. With increased use of electronic devices on planes, fewer people browse the SkyMall in-flight catalog, Scott Wiley, the company's chief executive, said in a court statement. We are extremely disappointed in this result. Then they go on to say, let's see what else they got to say. SkyMall made its business over the past 25 years by entertaining commercial airline passengers, highlighting whimsical, expensive products, including a $1,000 Serenity Cat Pod, a $2,250 Garden Bigfoot statue, and a $16,000 personal sauna system. But the company, listen to this now, but the company has suffered at the hands of recent changes to airline policies, which have given passengers alternative means of entertainment and flooded them with different avenues for purchasing online. The permitted use of smartphones on commercial flights has usurped the magazine's place as the de facto way to pass time while cruising at 30,000 some odd feet in the air. Are you kidding me? You talk about a slanted article. It, because of the cell phone and the relaxed rules, how long have the relaxed rules been in effect? And they haven't been in effect that long that it should affect SkyMall within the last quarter or so. Next, they also talk about this. Advertisers fawned over the readership, some 600 million travelers per year, and paid handsomely for publicity in SkyMall's pages, roughly $130,000 for full-page ads, plus an extra 6% transaction fee. That's a way to make money. That's like a VIG. Many of SkyMall's peculiar offerings have created cult followings, including the Bigfoot statue, 10,000 of which were sold by the magazine. Consider that only 5 years ago, in 2010, the magazine celebrated nearly $90 million in online sales alone. Its total revenue that year likely exceeded $130 million. But profits, meanwhile, have been even less encouraging in 2013. For instance, SkyMall lost $3.2 million. In 2010, they were selling a lot of stuff. Nowhere in this article does it mention that the recession just rolled up on our shores. No, SkyMall got destroyed by the cell phone and cell phone relaxed rules by the airplane. SkyMall got destroyed because people couldn't afford $16,000 worth of junk anymore. You talk about a magazine that was made for the 1%. It is SkyMall. Who the hell, 10,000 idiots bought a Yeti Sasquatch statue to put in their backyard? Ha, 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 won't this be funny? $2,500, ha, ha, my kid could go to summer camp. Both of my kids could go to summer camp for that. But it is in-flight entertainment. It is in-flight cell phones. That's the reason why Sky Mall is sucking wind. 2010, we all had more money. 2010, you could retire on a 401k and an IRA. And then later in 2010 came, and guess what? The recession rolled up on everybody's shores. Are you kidding me with this article that it is inflation? I mean, that's the most inane, ridiculous thing I've ever said. That is when people read the news and they don't think about the news. Because I thought I was crazy. I said, oh, man, I can't believe I'm reading this. I can't believe I'm reading this. I thought I was crazy. I went over to my wife and read the article to her. She was bored stiff, but she listens to me. She entertains me once in a while with listening to my rantings and ravings. And she goes, that's crazy. She goes, stuff in there was just too expensive. The recession came. I was like, exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. Me and you, we do not have a failure to communicate. We are on the same page. I don't know why I'm so upset about this or why I'm so uppity about this, but it just seems to me when common sense isn't used, read into this article. I cannot believe that the Washington Post let this article come out. Yes, you have to offer some kind of opinion. 2010, we were all riding high. And you know how I know that? Because I matched my numbers this year for the first time. Actually, I came in a little bit short, but I matched my sales numbers for this past year, 2014, to what I had in 2010, which was the best numbers I had. I was finally to get some traction, to get it going again. But 2010 was the benchmark. Who's got money for a $1,000 Serenity cat pod? Seriously, there's a movie out there, if we're going to talk about money like this, there's a movie out there that I refuse to watch. It's called Wolf of Wall Street. I know you got DiCaprio and Scorsese and all that. I'm supposed to appreciate this cinematic nonsense. I don't want to see him. I don't glorify a gangster. And just about, you know, a non-tough guy gangster, a guy who's stealing money from people when they don't even know it. Not that Whitey Bulger or the Mafia is any better, but at least you know it's coming. You know, at least you know it's coming. Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Betancourt there. Take a walk. How dare you make a movie of him? How dare you even justify his existence? This is the guy who's buying a $2,500 Bigfoot statues to have at a company party. Ha ha, isn't that funny? Ha ha ha. We have enough money to burn. Sky Mall was a 1% magazine. It is for the 1%. And also, let me tell you something else about flying. The 1%, this is the other point my wife made, and she was genius for this. The 1% who would buy out of Sky Mall are not taking commercial flights anymore. They're either on NetJet or Marquee Jet or something to that effect. And you sure as hell ain't having Sky Mall in there when you could get scotch, you know, 12-year-old scotch poured to you, and you sit in your captain's chair. Not worrying about any kind of rules of FAA rules of surfing the internet at 10,000, 30,000 feet. She's right. Who flies now? Southwest Magazine. People in a herd running to get onto Southwest Airlines. Discount flyers, cheap flyers. Orbitz, Travelocity. We're all trying to beat an airfare. We're all trying to get the cheapest airfare possible, and we're going to go to Sky Mall and spend $2,500? Are you nuts? It's just, I am irate because it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, that article stinks. How could you let that get published in the Washington Post? All the facts are there. I know that they're saying that, you know, they're taking the quote from the leader of the CEO of Sky Mall. But flying, I could, in 5 minutes, I came up with five different reasons why Sky Mall's going out. I look at Sky Mall. I love Sky Mall. I love the Crate & Barrel magazine. Every time this stuff comes into my mailbox, I take a look at it. Sharper image and all that kind of stuff. I take a look at it. I want to see the kooky stuff. I love it. And how many hours have you spent in Sky Mall? And when do the restrictions come into play on an airplane flight? First of all, you're bored. You got nothing to do. Right? And then they tell you to turn off your cell phones. So by the time the drinks roll around and you're able to put on your stuff, you're looking for something to do because we're so attention-starved. We all got ADD. You're picking up SkyMall. Don't tell me. And who perused it for an hour? There are only so many ways you could show a folding pillow where you sleep on it on an airplane and you look like an idiot. There are only so many ways you could show it, and six different companies were putting out the same product. SkyMall. Don't give me that. Don't give me that the cell phone and internet access in the air is what killed you. What killed you is that you were overpriced and your market share left. Bam. Done. It. Finished. Thank you. Phone number 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. The program's name is Outside Looking In, and I am Bruce Negrin. That's right. That's me. You hear Tom Petty? I know that song, Sam Smith, Stay With Me. In my playlist here, I've Learned to Fly. But Sam Smith has to give publishing to Tom Petty, because when you slow down Tom Petty's record to Sam Smith's speed, it is on the exact bars and measures. It is the exact same song. That's crazy. Oh, I didn't know. But then again, I'm sitting around here with a guitar. I putz around with a guitar every once in a while. And three chords. All songs are three chords, so I can understand how you might not know. Might sound like something, but if you never listened to Tom Petty, if you're 23 years old, you might have never listened to Tom Petty in your life. So, you can't have that much of a musical knowledge. One other thing I wanted to talk about, too. There's a new song out there, Bruno Mars with Mark Ronson, Uptown Funk. You know, number one hit. Fantastic. People love it. I love it. I think it's a great song. But it annoys me a little bit, and you know why? Because nobody makes music like that anymore. Go back 22 years ago, 23 years ago, 25 years ago. A group called Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Commodores. Even Mars Day and the Time and Prince when he first started out. All of this music was there. The worst thing that ever happened to R&B music, to black music, let's say, and I can say that I was in the record industry for a long time, and that was a category, black music. So this is don't come at me with any of that nonsense. But the worst thing that happened to black music, and I was part of this too, is rap music. I worked for a rap label for 5 years, Wild Pitch Records. We were part of EMI Records, and we were putting out rap music. And I go into the studio, and all these guys would make fantastic tracks. You have a producer who's able to take a drum beat from here and a horn from there and somewhere else from here, and then these guys would lay down lyrics. I was a little hip-hop kid. I used to run around. Never had gold teeth. I had nice sneakers and had a lot of baseball hats, a lot of minor league baseball hats. And I used to nod my head, and I used to wear sweatshirts. I'd be like, yeah. So I was one of those guys. And I'm the one telling you, being there on the scene in 1990 through 1994, being there on the scene, that rap music killed black music. And why do you say that? Because people were freaking out over Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson, Uptown Funk. A great song. But it's a resurrection. It's an absolute resurrection. Think about it now. Where's rap music going to go now? Because there are no more black music bands. There are no more Cameo. There's no more anything of that sort. It's all sampled music. And who are the people in 10 years? Who are they going to sample? You can't sample a rap record because it's already sampled. You know, you just can't do it. Black music has taken a beating at the hands of rap music. And rap music used to be a lot more musical. Now it's just noise. And there are a lot of guys who are 45, 47 years old, who I know, black and white, who I still keep in touch with. They're like, yo, did you hear that new joint? Hell no. I wouldn't listen to this stuff now. I wouldn't listen to it at all. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. You hear this?
This is called Instant Groove.
Instant Groove, King Curtis.
Now while we start to whip up the groove, we want everybody to come on out here.
Nine rap songs have come out of that song. He was an excellent saxophonist, jazz and R&B, played with Aretha Franklin. You know, when he got killed, Stevie Wonder came to the funeral. Aretha Franklin was there. The Allman Brothers were there. So I got that off my chest. One more thing, I think. We got about 9 minutes left in the program. So if you want to get on the air, the phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. I'm not going to get to a lot of different things. I'm going to actually have some things hold over. I went over a little bit on some stuff that I thought was important. But now I want to touch upon something about common sense again. Now, last week I talked about the I-270 corridor, the technology corridor, and Joe Delaney, the state senator from our district, from Montgomery County, from 15, talking about transit issues and things to that effect. And then something I read last week by Delegate Aruna Miller, talking about the Life Science Center down on Shady Grove. And it all ties in because with the CCT coming in and the development and all of this stuff coming about, it all ties in. But I started reading over my notes from last week's show, and she said some things that were absolutely amazing. I glossed over it, and I didn't take it with a fine-tooth comb. I didn't put the microscope on it, the Bruce Negrin microscope. But now I am. And, you know, she's talking about, this is her, Aruna Miller, Democrat, Montgomery, North Montgomery County. You know, said that I-270 has been studied since 1994, but little substantive work has been happened to change things for the better in the two decades. You know, many people, this is her quote, many people believe in transportation is just about road and infrastructure improvement. It isn't. It's about investing in our people. Really? It's about investing in our economy and the future economy of Maryland and about our environment and about protecting child safety and, you know, just throwing more things there. Maryland residents want to have choices and not just about building highways. We need highways, transit, pedestrian, bicycle facilities. We need a comprehensive look at how we move people in the state of Maryland. Now, this is the part I highlighted that I glossed over last week and I cannot gloss over again. Of course, she said, the I-270 Tech Corridor is a huge economic hub for the state. In Montgomery County, the Life Science Center is expected to generate 100,000 high-paying jobs, over $13 billion annually in goods and services, and annually over $322 million in state tax revenues once it is built. Did you hear those numbers? Do I have to repeat them again? I think I do. The Life Sciences Center is expected to generate 100,000 high-paying jobs. 100,000 high-paying jobs off of Shady Grove Road in that little area. 100,000 high-paying jobs. So this Life Science Center is going to wipe out a month's worth of unemployment. Outstanding. Outstanding. Hey, I'm all for it too, okay? If it can do it, it can do it. I'm with you. I'll wave that flag. I'll run up and down Shady Grove naked. 100,000 jobs. 100,000 jobs. High paying, mind you. Is that reality? I don't think so. Really, I mean, 100,000 high-paying jobs? On paper, it looks fantastic. How are you going to do it? Obviously, this Life Science Center and this whole Shady Grove development has to go in stages, will go in stages, and certain things have to be met. But you talk about pie in the sky, 100,000 high-paying jobs. Not just in Montgomery County alone, in this small little area. And then it's going to generate $322 million in state tax revenues once it's built? How? To get all those jobs, you're going to have to give tax abatements. Someone's not connecting the dots there, Ms. Miller. You can read what they tell you, but read what's real. Talk what's real. Don't read what they give you. Talking points. It's all talking points that you people have, and it disgusts me. If this is true, I'm all for it. I'm not going to poo-poo on anybody's parade here. But 100,000 high-paying jobs, why do you keep saying that, Bruce? Why? Because it's unconscionable. It's unreasonable. I don't think it can happen. How many years over the lifespan? How many years? If it takes 30 years, it's not really helping anybody out. It's better than nothing, of course. But to get 100,000 high-paying jobs, you are going to have to give tax abatements to companies that move in to give these jobs. And that is the cost of business. That is the cost of employing people. It doesn't matter where you go. Companies will not come here. Companies play each other off, play counties off for tax abatements. I will move to your county, but I want this, that, and the other thing. No, no, move to our county. I'll give you this, that, the other thing, and some more. I'll put two chickens in your pot and a loaf of bread. I'll give you a stick of butter and some milk. And on the flip side of that, Miss Miller, 100,000 high-paying jobs. Are all these people driving alone? Where are you going to put them? 100,000 people, 100,000 jobs. How can you fit it in that area? Well, that's why we have to have the transit, Bruce. That's why we have to have the development. Do you think they're all going to come from up county? All going to take Metro? Let me tell you, I talked about this a while ago, too, about conditioning people. People down here are conditioned to drive. They are conditioned to drive. It's going to take years to get them onto public transportation. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. They had a decent public transportation system, especially to go downtown from some of the certain areas, from Buckhead or whatever. Do you think people did it? Hell no, they didn't do it. Why? Because I have my car and I have Sirius XM. The realities of what you say have to be looked at. 100,000 people coming down here for their high-paying jobs. And my wife and I, again, we talk a lot. Good for us. We're just saying, let's be realistic. So maybe only 50,000 drive? Where are you going to park them? Say 20,000 cars come into the area. And everybody is walking or taking transit in pedestrian areas. Yeah, Bizzuto is building all around the place, and I appreciate what they're doing. You know, trying to manufacture cities out of farmland. You know, go up to Crown, Cadence of Crown, or Crown Plaza there. You know, and you got a bunch of new restaurants, et cetera, which is kicking the Kentlands' ass. Kentlands better get into shape and figure it out. Otherwise, that's going to be a blind spot and turn into a 25-year-old black eye. You know, the Kentlands has its purpose, but it's just going to have its purpose. It's going to become a shopping mall for Giant and getting a sandwich. There's going to be a lot more Subway shops there rather than destination things, keeping people there to stay. That's why that new restaurant, not the Muscle Bar, I forgot what it's called. Ugh, I hate when I do this. But that's why that restaurant's important. But I already saw them. So, you know, a place that's charging $10 for beer already is in the magazine, the Clipper magazine, saying, you know, two for ones or entrees or something like that. That's not a good sign. But really, I mean, Miller noted that three major transportation projects in the state competing for transit funds have been the Red Line, the Purple Line, and the CCT. Good luck. Good luck. Be honest with yourselves. That's all I'm asking. Just don't throw this stuff out to impress people. Look how we're pushing ahead. Look how we're forging ahead. Anybody could put anything on paper. That Life Sciences Center, I've seen it for 10 years, for 8 years driving down here. I've only lived here for about a year and a half, 2 years. But I've seen it. I've visited this area. I've been here. I understand what's going on. You know, the only thing that's happening now is that they're building a new traffic light on Shady Grove that's going to shut us down in the middle of the night. That's going to keep me at a red light for 10 minutes on a Wednesday at 12:30 at night when I'm trying to get home from hockey. Rah! Seriously. Seriously. I am all for development. I am all for smart growth. I am all for everything that you're saying. I'm all for high-paying jobs. You know, I'm bitching and moaning. I'm all for it. But just don't throw these numbers out. How much in the next 3 years? How much in the next 5 years? Because this is definitely not an overnight project. So that's where the reality has to come through, and that's where you have to be honest. That's where transparency has to be. My name is Bruce Negrin. The program is called Outside Looking In. If you want to know what's going on, tune in every Tuesday between 8 and 9 p.m. Do something today that will make you better tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Called Instant Groove. Now while we start to whip up the groove, we want everybody to come on out here and do your thing. Now everybody got a thing. We want you to come on out here and do it now.
because that's what everybody is doing, their own thing. That's what I want to see you do right now. Go on and get it. Go on and do it. Do it one more time. Get down. That's it right there. Work your show.